Hey, want something positive you can do in your own life to work for peace? Take a little time out. Search around in your body, in your muscles, in your flesh for all of the sore points, all the small pains, all of the tie-ups. Wad them up together. Shop around in your spirit. Shop around in your heart for all of your fears, your anxieties, your rages. Reach into your mind and take out all of those ugly, deformed images that are poured in day and night. And all of those exploitive sexual images that are used to sell products. Wad all of that up into one tight ball down in your middle. And in one final act of violence, pick up your television set and throw it out the front window. Then you can learn to live in peace with each other.
American media is a business. And it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive, it's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, October the 18th, 2010. You're listening to Newsreel, a WOG Global sit rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are as well. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to Sean _ Kennedy, or Sean _ Kennedy. You know, as long as there's that little liney thing there, .livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rand Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, Second Life, every Thursday night at Node Archers, grid 155-74666. And with us in the house tonight, we got Hero Choi, who briefly had an echo problem marked forever in my mind. Anastasia Jennings, Oi Nexus, Balls, Veracula, Bash Korovec, Zurich Score, Damon Kong, Ray, Don Dorbin, Devin Audion, Flash GYIR, Jonas Vincent, Lacklung Dark Matter, Legion Rosen, Max the Toking Cat, and I know who listens through your ears, Max. Rationrock Northman, Sporadic E, Finkelstein, TechCraft, who did some lovely remodeling recently, and let's not forget Avik Duquesne, who for no reason I've muted. Oh, I think AOI Nexus just showed up and somebody else just might have jumped in, but we'll give them credit for now. Yes, yes. And let's not forget my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
I'm back. I apologize for missing the last show, but I was indisposed. I was out of town.
And why were you out of town exactly?
Well, I was watching the slaughtering of birds for some ritualistic feasting. Some pagan ritual was going on across the land where I was. And it was blood everywhere, murder, screaming birds. It was horrible.
Ha! You must be thinking about Thanksgiving, which is this holiday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. What they called it.
Thanksgiving, a foul, foul holiday, if ever there was one.
Ho, ho, ho. A
little bit of wordplay there here on Rank Media. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. I know.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. What we do is we actually raise the turkey all year long. We give it a name. And usually it's like, you know, a name like Rebecca.
Turkey Lurkey.
No, like, yeah. Rebecca, usually. You know.
Rebecca. Yes.
Rebecca's a turkey. We talk to it. And we make sure we're good and attached, you know. So that on the night before, you know, you're like, you got the music going. It's Noctus. You know. Rebecca's freaking fuck out.
You painted the circle.
And you're crying because of this sacrifice you're making. With Rebecca! You know, you drive the meat skewer fork thing down through the chest, you know, releasing the soul of the turkey up, channeling through the crystals into you. You know, that's a little bit more of an occult Thanksgiving, but, you know, gets the job done. And properly prepared, if you stuff them full of a beer can, they're pretty tasty. They're pretty tasty. That's the big problem with you guys in the vegan world, man. Like, you guys have got some good stuff. No, it's true. Like, that whole angle, that whole mindset, you know, the Adbusters thing. They got some hot chicks over there. Heads are kind of screwed up, but they got some hot chicks over there, and that's nice. You know, that's true. You know, there's some nice chicks over there. There are, you know, and there's some good-looking guys,
too. I am part of no group
mentioning. On. All right, fine. Well, the water has found certain levels, and you've sort of, you know, guys, you represent a certain type of person. This is part of the dynamic of the show. You're left-wing. Yep. I have some very left-wing ideas. You have some very left-wing ideas. But you're a vegan, right? You are a vegan.
Yes.
And despite,
if I had to describe it.
Yeah, you know, you're a vegan.
For the people out there,
conscious. I'd say you're conscious. If I was going to describe so, I'd say you're a conscious guy. That's not a bad thing. It just means you think a lot about what the choices you make.
I can live my life without the slaughter of animals.
Hey,
I can eat without doing it. I can clothe myself without killing creatures.
Absolutely.
And I seem to be doing okay.
You bet. Yep. God-given right. You betcha, man. You can do you can do what you want there. I mean, personally, I get up in the morning and hurt myself by exercising a lot, which is ridiculous and retarded.
That's right.
More and more people are asking me, Sean, why are you doing this, man? Like, you're turning 37, dude. Like, you're not in the army anymore. You're probably never going to get into a fist fight again. Like, why the hell are you training? Like, you're going. Are you going somewhere? Is something going on, man? I got a lot of people are emailing
someone
me.
Someone chasing
going,
you?
Well, people think there's actually I've had a couple of emails where people have been asking me if I'm planning on going to Pakistan.
Pakistan?
Yeah.
Specifically
Pakistan. Reason why is because Blackwater's ramping up over there. Right, so there's a lot of, and they just got awarded $1 billion contract.
There.
Yeah, so a couple of people are thinking that maybe that's what I'm doing. So I got a couple of these, and I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. You know, thanks though. You know, thank you very much for the praise. It makes you think that I might possibly
high risk, high pay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's not any kind of a way that you want to make money. I don't think that's a really good idea.
Or keep marital relations going. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Sometimes,
sometimes you need a vacation.
Sometimes you need a little bit of time. No, I'm not just saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, occasionally absence does make the heart grow fonder. In some relationships, that can work. That's true.
There
are people who are like pilots and shit. They take off and long-haul truckers. There's lots of families and relationships that have existed in that way. And when the guy stops working, he's home. Yeah. Shit, they got to deal with all their crap.
That's right.
You know, and they're like, and then shit gets real tense around the family
Give
table.
Give me a beer.
Going
on another long haul. This is crap.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Because, you know, and then they get a chance to miss each other. And it's great, you know. So
they come back. They're crying. Oh, welcome back.
Well, I don't need that. I don't need that personally to keep my marriage together. I like gifts. Gifts and shiny baubles
are the basis of
a good relationship. Yeah, totally. Totally. It's about bribery. You know, I'm okay with that. My recent piece of bribery, I'm so happy with this because I mentioned this to my wife as a gift. Because I'm kind of against the whole Christmas gift thing now. I'm drifting because we're going to enter that season of madness pretty quickly here. You know, summer hits. You know, then the Grim Reaper shows up at the end of summer because you got Halloween. So there's skulls everywhere, which is a warning sign. You're like, oh, shit. Skeletons
it's
everywhere. It's coming, right? God, it's like, you know, the most occult warning
and
ever.
And you have to put up with 3 months of religious music.
Right.
And all leading up to the final commercialism.
Oh, and psycho mindfuck shopping commercials.
Brutal.
Which make you want to what?
Here.
Spend money, right?
Like, you're a horrible husband if you don't buy your wife thousands of dollars of gifts.
I don't have much, but let's tell you a story. Here's a beautiful story about a woman who has long hair, but she cuts all her hair off to buy her husband a watch strap. But he sold his watch so he could get her brushed with it, and then they just gave each other the shit that they didn't have anything anymore. Isn't that a romantic story? You know, it's a beautifully touching, loving story, but at the end of the day...
tears roll down my face.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though, you got a bunch of useless shit that neither one of you can use. That's the
and our pockets are empty.
Yeah, you know, so that's the big sale there.
So, you know, dollars being the ammunition for the next coming conflict, you want to make sure you have a good, vast, you know, I like that analogy. Because everybody, you know, it's funny. No one ever tells anybody to save money. Ever. You never hear it. There's the one guy who saves your money with us in our bank stall. Do that with us, though.
That's right.
Which means
give
save
us your
money,
money
means gives us control of your money. Yeah, that's what I actually mean by saving it. Yes. You know, and that's...
yes.
Yes. You know, so that's you know, one angle. But no one actually tells you to don't spend your cash. Like, just fucking start hoarding money. Of course, there's the economists, right? They're going to be like, oh, no, Sean, if everyone does that, you're going to fuck up the world. Like, you'll break everything. You know,
and that's right. You'll be the downfall of Western society.
You don't understand economics.
That's right.
And I would say, yes. Yes, you're right. I do not understand economics. You know, all I need to know about economics, I learned from Briex. You know what I mean? Like, I learned that from the corporate bailout structure. So I don't trust any of that shit anymore. It's like, I don't know anything about economics, so I prefer my money as cash. Thank you very much. Yeah. So maybe gold.
Oh.
You know.
Back to your watch.
My watch.
Tell me about your watch. What makes it the watch that you wanted? The ultimate watch.
Well, I got a watch.
You want to put on your wrist.
I got a watch. We didn't record that part. That was pre-show. I got a watch as a gift. For my birthday.
Yes.
Right. So, which is early, but whatever.
Yeah, a little early.
And you know, to be honest,
You get to use it longer. That's
I do. I do. And it was actually kind of nice because we did it a little early. I just happened to pick her up the bag from Happy Cow that chick Fiona wears in Burn Notice. Like, I got her that little bag. So, it was kind of fun, right? Because she just mentioned she liked it. Yeah. So, of course, you know. My wife sees something on a TV show that she says is cool, and it's carried by a woman with a gun. I'm like, hell yeah, okay, well, absolutely. Whatever it is, you're getting it. So
there you go.
A bit of pitter pitter. So I wound up getting one of these things, and it was a lot of cash. But you know, anything that's WOG kit and encourages WOG activities in the female of the species, this is encouraged. So you try to push that. It's very very nice. I should note the people there were nice. Yeah. They screwed up. And they shipped it to the wrong address, but then they told me they fired the guy who did that. So I was like, we killed him. He's currently fed to the alligators out back. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, and I felt kind of bad because I wrote them an angry email. And everybody's been on the other side of the angry email. You don't want to deal with some dick who's fucking, you know.
That's true.
Nobody wants to be the dick.
We've all had that.
Right? Yeah. So nobody wants that. But anyway, so she happened to get me this watch. And I love this watch. It's a Casio model number 4335-4348. That number again, Casio model number 4335-4348. Now, the best thing about the watch, there's a lot of great things about the watch, but the thing I like the most about the watch is that it was $45. That's
very inexpensive.
Yes.
For a watch.
That's out of the gate. Bang. Okay, so you're into this for $45. The price of a cup of coffee. In a movie theater, you know, really.
In
a movie theater, you know, it was, you know. Now, the thing that's great about it is it's $45, which damn near makes the thing disposable in the watch world.
Yeah. Oh, geez, yes.
Okay. Now, this one here is the all-metal band. Now, what happened was there was a story here, because I've been wearing forever my Casio G-Shock Golfman, right, which is you can't get it anymore. It's very hard to find. And you can get it in a few places. It's available, but they're getting harder to get. And it's got a titanium back. It's my dive watch, but it's not actually a dive watch. But it keeps track of the moon and the tides. And, you know, if you don't have a watch that keeps track of that, the moon and the tides, you think, what the hell? Why would I give a shit about the moon and the tides? Well, you know, it's kind of weird. After you get used to having that data there, you miss it, right? So, So I start working down in a corporate environment, and I'm working on, you know, some concepts and ideas, patrolling season 3, about actually getting serious about your integration and camouflage, you know, and subversion and starting to use, you know, subtle cues that even the people around you don't realize. That suddenly, you know, you're influencing them and they don't even know it. You know what I mean? Just because of, like, you could, it's sort of like back hacking their own culture. You know, it's sort of the idea. So I'm working on this. And one of the things I wanted to find is stuff like this. Because, you see, they look at these watches have a strange power in culture. I don't know what it is. But people, like, really make judgments based on watches.
They look at your shoes. They look at your watch.
They do. They do. So, you know, you could tell a guy wearing a Breitling watch and the guy who does wear a Rolex or wants to wear a Rolex, that says certain things about their values and the kind of person that they are. So sometimes, you know, now you go for the large face watches, and if you're pretty good at it, you could generally get a lot from that piece of information. So I like going for a watch that gives very little information, you know, about the person, right? Because you can get a lot off somebody's watch. So, you know, an analog watch is good, one with hands, okay? Because it's a very,
very simple
watch. It's classic. You know, it looks good
with a
suit.
Tells you the time. That's it.
Yeah, you know. But any watch that just tells time is lazy, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
It's a perfectly good piece of kit here. Using a valuable real estate with this slave bracelet they've clasped around my wrist, tying me into their meaningless 24-hour structure. You know, so I may as well have a couple little bit of functionality with this bad cell phone contract we have called time. You know, so I'm looking at it, and the ones that I liked is that this is the only watch I found that had both the time and the tides and gave me analog time. And also as a bonus, this one
really
kept track of temperature. Yeah, it's just the only point where I could find it, where it had the hands, and it gave me moon graph data. I mean, there's some other ones that are like Rolexes and stuff like that, but they're like ridiculous cash, and you know, they don't even look like they do that good of a job. It's like this weird little rotating bezel, and I'm like, how the fuck do I read this? I don't want to sext
this.
This
does amazing amounts for that. For that price, this does an amazing amount of data collection. Like, it can even go to 100 meters, it says on this.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I wouldn't, you know.
Skeptical? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would probably go. You know what I mean? But, I mean, it's not a Casio G-Shock, I'll tell you that. I mean, a Casio G-Shock, you know, you can slap shoot on a frozen ice bed 200 miles an hour to the floorboards. That's a watch. Okay, that's an operational.
That is one
watch.
Of your criteria. That's true.
And this is not that piece of kit. Okay, this is a different kind of piece of kit. It's rugged. Don't get me wrong, and it's probably more rugged than any other watch. But don't go thinking this thing's like, you know, like your Pathfinder Plus. You know, that's built out. It's supposed to look a little bit more classy. Now the weird thing was this
is kind of the blend of something you can wear to work, but also gives you some information.
And it's good to have that relevant information. If you can have a James Bond pen. Why not have a pen that's also a radio? You know, if it's subtle.
Yeah.
You know, if nobody else knows it's a radio, it gives you an edge. So the one thing is that this one had temperature on it, which is bizarre.
Right.
Because what the hell do I care what temperature
of your wrist?
Is? So I've got this here, and it more than that, it graphs the temperature every 30 minutes. So I can snap between the actual temperature reading and a graph showing me what the temperature has been. Of course, this is totally askew because it's on my wrist. And my body heat is so it's not an accurate reading of the temperature.
Maybe it accounts for that.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. I read the book. I've got the little tiny book that's printed in a billion languages. Like, I've got that.
The temperature of your wrist is.
So all it does is it keeps track of it. So I'm like, that's fucking strange. So I'm thinking, well, what good is that? But somebody thought it was really important because it's a major feature in this watch.
Huh. Yeah, it's big printing, the temperature of your wrist.
Yeah.
It's like a quarter of the screen.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is, though, is that it puts the graph up there, and you can keep track, I think, of about 10 or 12 hours at a time on this graph. And it just automatically scrolls by. The interesting thing is that over time, and looking at the graph, because I left it on there for a few days, it becomes a method of tracking your movement and your activity. Where if you stop thinking about that temperature data as a data set, but actually as an indicator of movement or location. You could see when you were sleeping. You could see your activity for the last little while. It's a very interesting data set to have. Yeah. So I've only just started to really utilize that and figure out how to, you know, make that happen.
Yeah, because when you're out running in the morning, it's gonna raise in temperature. So you can say, well, this is when I ran. This is when I was under stress. This is when I was sleeping. This is when I was relaxed watching a movie, et cetera, et cetera. Very interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a couple of things about this watch, though, that I don't like, that I do not like. The Ultimate Wog watch, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they make it, and I believe Casio makes one, which I would think is probably one of the most Wog watches ever. There's one they have, which is both solar-powered, and it's solar-powered, right off the top.
Wow,
good. And it's an atomic watch, so it automatically sets itself to the atomic clock. Okay, and it's solar powered. So what you have there is a permanent perfect timepiece, right? What does it do? how well does it do it, right? This is what we're thinking. So
exactly, yeah.
And I think it's rather reasonable too. I believe Casio makes it. There's a couple of them out there, okay. But you know, these guys who go out there and spend, you know, over $1,000 on a watch, unless that thing's made by Sunto, yeah. You know, or you've got some pretty pretty amazing tricks that this risk-top computer can do. Like, at that point, if you're spending, I don't know how you could spend $10,000 on a watch. That's just retarded. It's ridiculous to
me. Yeah, you're just waiting for your hand to get chopped off in some third world country.
Which, the intro of the show, which you didn't hear, Sim, is a guy by the name of Utah right. Phillips, How to Live in Peace. He's a folk singer.
Okay.
And he's talking about killing your television, which coming up in the holiday season, you know, it's okay to get your friends gifts. It's okay to have a Christmas party, okay?
Yeah.
But don't go nuts. You know, there's a good holiday guideline this year. How about we just don't go crazy? How's that grab you, huh?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's
all
right.
Don't get things people are just going to chuck in the garbage the next day. If you're going to get somebody a gift, get them something that they actually need or want, that they're going to use. And if they're not going to use it, just, I don't know, don't give them anything or give them a gift certificate.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Sim, I wanted to ask you, what's the story with, now, when you did go to your Thanksgiving, was it awkward? You know, was it bad?
No, it's fine. It's fine. No,
was
no,
it
no,
like,
no,
oh,
no,
and,
no,
and
it's
Sim,
very tolerable.
Did you have some mashed potatoes? You know, like what?
Well, that aspect of it, yes, it's always annoying when I'm over at somebody else's house and I'm eating. That's the big thing. What are we going to feed the vegan? Right. What does the vegan eat? Oh, is he only going to have vegetables? Yeah, that's what I eat. I eat vegetables. That's what are we going to substitute for the meat? Oh, he's going to starve. Oh, my God. And they run around with their heads cut off. And so I have to supply my own substitute meat.
Which, of course, they hate that. They hate that. Everybody hates that.
But they're fine with it.
No, they're not. They fucking hate it. Come on, straight up. You know they hate it. They fucking hate that shit. They say they don't. They say they don't, but they fucking hate it. They do. I love you to death. I love you like a brother. I do. But they fucking hate it. I promise you they hate it.
I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe
totally
they think it's a big
do.
Inconvenience.
Oh my
They're
God.
Like, oh, we got to wash another pot just for him. He can't just eat the meat like a normal person. He's so weird. I don't know. I can't get in their head. I don't know. But maybe they...
You
maybe,
liar.
You know exactly maybe they do
what
think
saying.
That.
Yeah, maybe. You don't care. You don't care. Well, no, you stick by your guns. No, you stick by your guns, you know? And believe me, there's been many a time when I've thought about punching you in the face over this issue, but I do have to. I do. I got to give you credit. I mean, you stick by your fucking guns, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's something to be said for that. And I admire it. I do. It's an admirable thing. I do not think I could do this. You know, so.
I think the funniest part is when they cook the vegetables,
right.
They take a small portion of the vegetables out, set it aside, and then continue with cooking the vegetables and put the butter on it and everything else. So I have these little individually sized portions of all the vegetables and everything is like special for me. It's quite amusing.
Oh. Well, I hope
sad at the same time. Yes,
I hope to God that you're pretty gracious, though. I mean, I hope you're
they don't.
Stuff.
You know, I'm not forcing them to do anything. They could say, "Make your own dinner," and I'll gladly do that. I don't make people bow down and you know, you must accommodate me. I'm special.
No.
I'm special.
Well, I wasn't implying
you
that.
Heathens, you meat eaters.
I think you're projecting now. I think you're projecting a little.
Okay,
bit. I'm just. That's what I was asking. You know, just
okay.
You know, clearly, this is a sensitive issue. Now we should move on to the news. But I did want to you know, I feel your vegan pain, and I know that there's many a vegan out there who now, you know, I think that's why you're such a big hit with the vegetarian and vegan community, because there's a lot of people out there who can associate with that. No, there is. You know, I mean, it's
well,
the,
yeah, they're like, you're like me.
Well, yeah, totally. It's like, I'm coming out
well,
of the
yeah.
closet. You know, I'm vegan too. You know, we got to start a vegan Pride Day, man, in Vancouver. You know,
well, I'm sure there's many. I'm sure
no,
there's lots
not.
Of vegetarian.
Have you ever heard of a
vegan
parade? Has there been a vegan parade? A vegan Pride?
Probably not a parade.
Why not?
Vegans make up half
Dude,
a percent of the population.
Dude, if they can have a gay parade, why can't
it'll
we have like a vegan
small.
Parade? I mean, come on.
That's right.
Really? Why not? What the fuck? I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, sure.
Why not? I mean, how would we promote it though? How do you have a parade? You got any ideas on how to have a parade?
There's a veggie pride parade in New York, apparently. So,
is there a veggie pride?
Yeah.
Well, veggie pride. Now, is that like
veggie pride?
Now, is that part of Pride Week, or is that like? I
don't know. May 22nd, 2011. So, I guess it's on May 22nd in New York. I don't know if I'll be there next year, but there it is.
Well,
I'll have to start up in Vancouver.
I'll have to check my calendar.
You know what? I don't want to do that. I don't want to march with those people.
Why not?
You know?
Why not?
Because most of them, the stereotype of vegans and vegetarians.
And
you
what stereotype
it,
is
it
that?
It fits.
What is it?
It fits.
What's
you know?
The stereotype? What's the stereotype?
The hippies. The stinky, dirty, dreadlocked
dirty,
hippies.
Smelly, patchouli wearing, barefoot.
Go to a vegetarian restaurant and take a look around you. There's uncaring art students serving you in dirty clothes and dreadlocked hairs, and they do not care. And they're like, I work here because I need the money, not because I care about you and your dinner. It's just horrible.
But true. True words were
it
never
is true.
Spoken. It's totally true.
So,
And it's,
I don't think I could stand to be in the same room a collection of people that the stereotype involves.
There was this place I used to go to called Ethical Addictions. It's gone now. It was in and it was full of people like this, you know, full of them. And they all moved down to Vancouver, and now they go to a different place. But it's like, it's full of these kind of people who are like, you know, totally melodramatic. I don't get it at all. It's really, really weird. But, you know, hey, who am I, you know, clustered around me by digital avatars as I ramble on to, you know, poke fun at any subculture. And how
I mean, the whole thing, veggie pride, like, I'm proud of being a vegan. I'm going to march and put it in your face. And you are lower than me because I only eat vegetables. Why do you need a march? Why do you need a parade for that? Just eat your food and shut up.
I kind of feel the same way about the gay pride parade, to be honest with you. I honestly do. Not to angle this story in any particular way, but I kind of do. I'm kind of like, you know what? Maybe I haven't experienced enough hate or something, but I'm kind of like, hooray! You know, like, I really don't see the need for the parade. Like,
they can do it.
It's awesome. It's a good time.
It's true.
But,
you do what you want. Yeah.
But I don't think it's really necessary.
In this day and age, you almost think, in Vancouver, maybe it's okay. But apparently, in the rest of, you know, the United States, kids are still being bullied for being gay, and they go and hang themselves. So maybe there is
true.
A little bit
that's
more
true.
Need
I mean,
for
we
that
are, we are
for
the,
a little bit longer.
Here we are.
Once
on the
it's accepted,
coast.
Shut the hell up about being gay. Once it's accepted and everybody's cool with it, you don't need your parade anymore. It's cool. You're a human. I'm a human. We're all humans loving other humans. Cool.
Right.
You don't need the parade.
Well, I'm
but
sure.
until, you know, everybody's cool with it, you know, maybe they need a little bit more press so everybody can get comfortable with it. And, you know, live and let live.
Well, no, that's a valid point. Can we have a gay pride everywhere? No, we can't have one everywhere, can we? There's lots of places in the United States you cannot have a gay pride parade. So in that case, I'd say, absolutely. Then, totally. Because you can't have one everywhere. I get spoiled. I get spoiled living here in Vancouver. Beautiful Vancouver.
Yeah.
British Columbia.
We're pretty liberal here.
Oh, we're super liberal. Are you kidding? There's like...
smoking pot in the street.
Oh, God.
Guys holding hands with guys. Girls holding hands with girls.
It's an awful lot like paradise.
Everybody's cool.
It is.
Everybody's
cool here. Second best place in the world to live, and here we are, you know, throwing rocks, trying to be all angry on the internet.
That's right.
We're mad at our world. Meanwhile...
I know.
You know, we at least we try to be entertaining for all of you out there in the world. Before we completely just... you know, look like complete hypocrites and posers.
Yes.
I'm going to try to do some news. Update, Overseer News. Do you remember that story about the school officials who were, like, spying on students through their laptops? It was, like, vaguely...
Yes, it enraged us.
Oh,
it went
nuts.
Horrible.
Well, update on that story. Philadelphia Area School District agreed Monday to pay $610,000 to settle two lawsuits over secret photos taken of school-issued laptops. The Lower Merion School District admitted it had captured thousands of webcam photographs, blah, 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 blah. The settlement calls for $175,000 to be placed in trust for Robbins and $10,000 for a second student who filed suit. Well, one student got the naked photos, and I guess the other one just had some other photos kicking around. The lawyer for the two students
here comes
will get $425,000 for his work on the case.
You know, good work, Mark. Good work.
You know. Well done, you.
Who wins here?
You shyster piece of shit. You know, really? How is it possible that you did $425,000 worth of work? You know? Yeah. Do you know what I can get from Blackwater for $425,000?
Years of protection.
Mark, $425,000 could go a long way with Blackwater. So
yeah, it does.
And whenever I hear stories like this about guys like screwing people over like this, you know, like, hey, you got to give me $4 million for this. Really? Yeah. Well, first of all, this is assuming I have the $4 million. But if you're going to blackmail
that's
me,
right,
and I've got so much money that I'd actually have $4 million, like, dude, if you kidnapped my wife and I've actually got that kind of bread, I wouldn't be giving it to no kidnappers. I'd totally be like, hey, ring, Blackwater, hey, I've got, like, I don't know, what did they want?
Here's the intel. Yeah.
I'm comfortable with admirable loss up to $5 million. I'm comfortable with loss there. Call me when that tab runs out. Okay, but I believe you have 48
get
hours.
Get the choppers, get the infrared, get the smoke grenades. Just go all out.
Do that funky shit that you guys do and bring me my life.
Because the justification is who's going to get the money? It's either the bad guys or some guys who actually did some work for the money.
Well, not only that, but like, so, either you're going to get your wife back or you're not, right? So let's understand that.
Yeah.
If you're the likelihood of you getting the wife back, you know, could be high, could be low, whatever. But if you're not getting the wife back, you know,
go all out.
And the worst case scenario is you don't get the wife back and you lose the $5 million. That's worst case scenario. Yeah. Right. So if you already accept the $5 million as being worthless because, you know, against your wife, it should be. Right.
Yeah.
So if you assume the money's all you care about is getting your wife back, and your best chance of actually getting your wife back is involving professionals, and professionals are not cops. Right. Because if they were cops or the professionals, they'd be paid the most. But if you've got like private guys who are highly trained ex-staff who now work freelance and they're all on, you know, a private network of super security professionals, you know, you could get an awful lot of value for that. I'm just saying that, you know, why not? My goal here is to get the wife back. If we have to, you know,
that's right,
hire some people.
Well, that's why they kidnap people, because they know that you're going to give the money. Like, they know that you value your wife more than the amount that they are demanding. So, yeah, like you said, you already have to accept those losses.
Well, then again, you got this whole situation like what's going on down in Mexico. Did you hear about this? Okay, there was a couple...
Oh, my God, it just keeps coming.
Yeah,
it
this one's good.
Coming.
This is this lake. Okay, there's this lake in Florida, all right, where there's pirates on it that have been hitting boats and shit. Okay?
Yeah.
And the... Well, the whole... the whole thing is they went into the... They went into the waters that are in the Mexican border, and these pirates chased them back, and they were on jet skis. Okay. Husband gets shot.
That's right. It's like a vacation spot to the south of Texas.
Right.
People are on their jet skis having a good time.
So
and the guy gets shot.
The guy gets shot. They're escaping. Buddy, I don't know what he does. He does something. Let's say he did something heroic. Why not? He's dead. And you know, so he dies. Wife gets away. You know, pretty noble.
Yeah.
Pretty noble. Let's call it noble. Now, of course, they went to investigate this, right? And on the Mexican side, they've now found the head investigator, the lead investigator guy. They found his head in a briefcase floating in the river now. So that's pretty much how that investigation's going.
Yeah. What the hell is going on in Mexico? What is going on? It's nuts. It's insane. It's anarchy. Like, I'd say that's as close to anarchy as you can get. Every time they investigate some gang, some militant group in Mexico, the police that are investigating it all die, all get their heads cut off and put in public places on pikes.
Well, I'd say big piles and fridges and shit. Yeah, the bizarre thing is here, though, is that it's not even anarchy. This is what they call, this is a warlord state you've lost control of.
That's true. That's better.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like this isn't structured. This structure is just fucked. They got a better navy than anybody. So,
They command the waters. Yeah. They're commanding the waters. They're commanding the land. They are in control. They are the warlords. They control the drugs. They control the money flow across the border. Right. They rule Mexico, or at least the northern border of Mexico.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't really...
What's the solution? Like, what's going to fix this? Is Mexico just going to fall into the completely into the hands of the warlords?
Well, you got to turn
the money
off.
Is the U.S.
going to
sit by and...
You got to turn the money off. That's the only way you can fix it. Your choices are...
That's their financing.
Yeah, you can either give money and create another war, which is what I think is going to happen. Because,
of course, that's
there's a big.
I mean, if they're pulling out of countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, and they need to use their military somewhere to, you know, justify the massive budgets of the military in the U.S., they can't just have the soldiers sitting around twiddling their thumbs looking up at the sky.
Well, they've also we're talking about big dollars here, right? There's a lot of money
huge.
Here. Okay, so they're not just gonna if you were to like get rid of that money revenue, you've lost that revenue stream. Okay, like $200 million is $200 million. Doesn't matter where it came from. It's $200 million. And there's a lot you can do with $200 million real dollars. Okay, so that there's a lot of political power they use. And they start using shit like greater good. You start paying off warlords, creating slush funds, and shit like this, right? Meanwhile, you're selling the drugs that have always been sold, only now, instead of the drugs being sold, going to like... You know, somebody, the foreigners' pockets, they're actually, you know, you're profiting from the death of your own people. And it gets all like, you start trying to make it like a noble sacrifice kind of mindset. And before you know it, you get all crazy, right? So it's a bad scene. You know, bottom line.
And the prices for drugs go up, too.
Of course, So
so people have to pay even more for drugs that are coming across the border.
Or, of course, they could just, you know, legalize it and tax the shit out of it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, apparently.
No.
No, it's a good plan.
Our morals. What about our morals? Moral standing. We can't put that out in the public.
We can't
admit that people take drugs.
You know, I would pay attention to your protests on, but I can't see over the piles of bodies that are massing up across the border. Okay, there's more people, like 8 grand killed just this year, over 8 grand, like in the last week.
Yeah.
Like daily. Okay, like people are dying. Like,
brutal
fucking
numbers. We worked it out
to
7 people a day, 8, 10, 15 people a day.
These guys aren't being killed in, like, subtle bomb blasts. These are, like, targeted hits. These are dudes getting machine guns. These are guys getting, like, tortured to death with blow torches. Like, bad shit, okay, is going on.
They put their heads in a pile. They put them in the middle of the street. They're making statements. They do not care.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah.
They are so brazen.
Yeah.
Nothing is stopping them.
I need a hero! You know, is what we need to do.
That's true.
Bring
back the 80s.
Yeah. So you either send in Megaforce, or you're going to have to legalize something, because shit has gone horribly, horribly wrong. Now, let's get into the next news story here. In Skynet news, this is always good. Skynet being the computer that became self-aware. Fucked us all. Terminator movies. Carnegie Mellon University has taught a computer how to read and learn from the internet. That's a great idea. According to Dennis Barron of Oxford University Press blog, the computer is called Nell, after the Jodie Foster film of the same name, and is reading the internet and learning from it in much the same way why humans learn language and acquire knowledge, basically poking it up and figuring it out. It is also called Project 2501. Nell has learned over 44,000 separate things, with an accuracy of 74%. This is about a C grade at school, for those of you who can't even figure that out. It judges the facts it finds. Some of it promotes the idea of being beliefs, and they come from a single trusted source, or they come from several less reliable sources. One of the problems, as the Boffins have, is more than half of what Nell gives as belief statuses were made from evidence of less than reliable sources. So it seems like Nell might find God, which is great. So there's a lot of religious stuff.
I'm just worried, of what Nell is going to start indexing. Is it going to branch off into 4chan and get all fucked up and get a C grade in tentacle rape? Or is it going to, you know, go to Wikipedia and get the latest entry that's been vandalized and all of a sudden think so-and-so is a cocksucker or something, and that's, like, the truth for Nell?
Nell
proclaims.
Well, what we need Nell to be able to do what we have to do is we have to get Nell to be doing the same thing to audio and to talk radio. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then what we do, you see, is the army of the flying monkeys begins to bombard Nell with rant media. Right? So
that's right. We have to, you know, help Nell learn. Yeah. Influence Nell. Steer Nell in the right direction. Set Nell on the path to righteousness and truth.
Build a bigger, better, stronger Nell. And we've got enough, you know, we got enough media. Jesus, how much media have we got?
Yeah.
We got a couple thousand
tons.
Media, I think. Yeah, you know. So, shit, Nell, you know.
Nell is the new brain of Sean Kennedy's consciousness transplanted.
It's Videodrome there. It's Videodrome.
Yes,
we can just,
that's right.
We can just transfer this over, a.k.a. Videodrome, if you haven't seen it. Cronenberg, awesome movie.
Oh,
Videodrome.
Brilliant. Yeah. Such foresight in that movie.
Pairs well.
Unbelievable.
Pairs well with the Max Headroom DVDs. Also pairs well with Blade Runner. Okay, so just what you're saying.
Oh yeah, all the same futuristic genre, like they're all different, very different futures.
Yeah.
But they all work together.
Yeah, very good. Very good. In body mod news, talking about Blade Runner. Mind Inversion sent me this story, thank you very much. Always sends good stuff.
Yep.
Mind Inversion. A staunch member of the Army of the Flying
Keeps
Monkeys.
Me well fed.
I would like to I was thinking about this. I'd like to give credit to everyone who's constantly submitted. There's a lot of people who submit all the time. And sometimes I don't mention them on the show because other people get credit and stuff like that. They're always there and they're always submitting. And I'd love to, have a list somewhere. But I'm always afraid that if I did that, that'd get misused.
Yeah,
somehow.
It's dangerous. Yeah,
yeah,
people get big heads.
It becomes an issue. But I just wanted to say, to all you out there who send me those stories, fuck, man. Maybe.
It helps. Yeah.
Maybe I should do up a special challenge coin or something like that, and I'll just mail it to people. The people who got one, and that'd be it. I don't know. I'll think of something. But anyway, in body mod news.
It's nice to
What were you gonna say?
It's nice to give recognition.
It is. It is more than just, hey, thanks. But I guess that's all we can do for it. in body mod news. Okay. Researchers have announced Monday that they had finally injected stem cells into a patient with a spinal cord injury on Friday, kicking off the world's first clinical trial of a therapy derived from human embryonic stem cells. Well, it's about goddamn time. It's about...
Yeah, those mice have been living it easy, and us humans with the broken spines, well, they do break the mice's spines.
Well, this has been a big... This
them.
Has been
but,
a huge,
yeah.
huge, huge religious issue, right? Because this is babies! Right?
Oh, the babies!
The babies, right? So stem cell research, bad. Can't do stem cell research. because it's against the word of God. In Genesis 19:25, it says...
They're killing living babies, ripping them from the mother's arms and stabbing them in the chest and go, your stem cells are mine!
Yeah.
No. It's not a baby. They're not dealing with babies. They're dealing with cells at this point. People just... can't get over it.
And
it's not a human.
And to be honest, if I lost
every
control of my legs.
Every sperm is sacred.
If I lost my legs. And
you'd be killing babies?
Well, the baby I didn't know, It was some baby that was going to die anyway, and I had to, whatever.
He looked sick!
Dude,
my
I need my legs. I need my legs back, man. Shit, Why? Just because I'm honest? Come on. There's a lot of people out there that'd be like that.
I was thinking of that South Park episode with Christopher Reeve, cracking open a baby and eating its spinal fluid to heal up. Really early South Park. Very funny stuff.
Some of their early stuff is brilliant. Some of their early stuff is totally just amazing.
Off the wall,
But so finally, we got some stem cell research. Very, very cool. Now, also, this story popped back up. One world currency. I don't know if you've heard of this one, Simi. Now, they've been talking about a one world currency for some time, and this is the crazies, the internet whack jobs. They're always going off about the one world currency. Evil Von Scary. He's right out there. He's the guy who's far out in the wire. You know what I mean? He's got the flat
deep in there.
Oh yeah, he's got the boonie hat on and the slice wire, living in the sticks. 20 times as hardcore as I am. If you want to go check out a guy who's hardcore and who's got good data, but it's like, you know, stuff that makes you justify the next firearm purchase. Yeah, go check out go check out the Evil Von Scary show. Yeah, he does a podcast. Yeah, I've long time friend of mine. We were in the Army together and stuff. He's a hell of a guy. So check him out. But anyway, he sends in stories from time to time. I don't know if he actually sent me this one, but I don't know who did, but it's one of those stories that I think was part of the suppressed files. Nations have reached their limit in subsidizing the United States military adventures. During the meetings in the year 2009 at Yedinsburg, Russia, world leaders such as China's President Hua Jintao, Russia's President Dmitry Medvedev, and other top officials of the six-nation Shanghai Cooperation Organization took the first formal step to replace the dollar as the world's reserve currency. The United States was denied admission to the meeting. If all the world leaders succeed, the dollar will dramatically plummet in value, the cost of imports, including oil, will skyrocket, and interest rates will climb. Foreigners see the International Monetary Fund of the World Bank and the World Trade Organization as Washington surrogates in a financial system backed by U.S. military bases and aircraft carriers encircling the globe. But this military domination is a vestige of American empire no longer able to rule by economic strength. U.S. military power is muscle-bound, based on atomic weaponry and long-distance airstrikes, then on ground operation, which become too politically unpopular to mount on any large scale. Which is kind of similar to the way Russia was. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, Russia was kind of running out like that. So similar sort of situation here. As Chris Hedge wrote... go ahead.
Well, I can see this happening, because just the last economic breakdown in the U.S. with the banks running wild, and then just no legislation for the banks, and they're just borrowing and making up money and stuff. I can see why the other countries are like, yeah, we're not going to really go on your dollar anymore. We're going to head on and do it on our own.
Yeah, which is, you know, pretty much understandable. I could see that. So it's interesting to pay attention to the market sometime. The only problem is I'm constantly wondering about, like, who's profiting by this news. You know what I mean?
You always have to follow the dollar and see, where does it lead you?
Right. You know, and this is a great couple of stories here. I got some corp war news here that I think is fantastic. It's secret corp war news. Now, there's a war going on in Pakistan. This is the war nobody's talking about. A couple of wars that aren't getting any press. Okay, there's the war in Mexico, which is going badly.
Yeah.
And then there's the, which is about as bad as it could possibly go. Then we've got the one in Pakistan. At a covert forward operating base run by U.S. Joint Special Operations Command in the Pakistani port city of Karachi, members of an elite division of Blackwater, it's a private company, are at the center of a secret program in which they plan targeted assassinations of suspected Taliban and Al-Qaeda operatives inside and outside Pakistan. So they're a kill team. Okay, the Blackwater operatives also gather intelligence and help direct a secret U.S. military drone bombing campaign that runs parallel to a well-documented CIA Predator strikes, according to well-placed sources within U.S. military intelligence apparatus. Captain John Kirby, a spokesman for Admiral Michael Mullen, chairman for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told The Nation, "We do not discuss current operations one way or the other, regardless of their nature." Meanwhile, a defense official specifically denied that Blackwater performs work on drone strikes or intelligence for JSTOC in Pakistan. "We don't have any contracts to do this work for us. We don't contract that kind of work out, period," the official said. Which, I don't really see what the problem is here.
If there's some guy who's awesome at doing something, and your guys are, you know, they know a bit, but they haven't done a lot of it before, what makes most sense?
Yeah.
And this is the type of target strikes that you've been talking about for a long time. Get in, target what you want to target, do it, get out.
Yeah.
Don't take huge civilian casualties.
Right. Keep the collateral damage down to, like, some kind of a level that's not insane, you know.
Yeah.
And go with it. But I don't know why they seem to be, you know, really wrapped around the axles about it. But, course, we've got Blackwater doing the job. Now, where do you stand with what's your view on Blackwater? You hear me talking about it a lot. What's your view on it, Sim?
Well, there's a need for bad men in the night, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's all about how they're used. I mean, they've done some bad stuff in the past. And, that's
I guess that's bad. It, for those individuals, maybe? Do you paint the whole organization with the same brush? It depends if, you know, that's their operative strategy is being bad guys, killing people left, right, and center. But who knows? I don't know anything really too deep about them, so I can't really comment on them. But, you know, you need a bad person to do the job.
It warms my heart. It warms my heart to hear you say that. It does, you know.
I'm not going to join hands and sing kumbaya. Close my eyes to the deaths around the world and the bad guys. You know,
so it's all right. We're just gonna enjoy this moment here. This is just a moment.
just sit in it.
I'm just gonna stew with this moment here for just a second, where we agree that Blackwater isn't totally bad. This is.
Well,
awesome.
I didn't say that.
No, I didn't say that. No, you didn't say that. But down the road, see, it starts like this, Sim, and pretty soon, you'll be shooting boars. Sim,
I'll be at the gun range.
You'll be killing hogs, and we'll be having
comparing
barbecues.
Calibers.
Yeah, and there'll be someone softly strumming a guitar as we feed on carcass. That's how this ends. That's the slippery slope you've already started down. The eventual logic of we are just beasts. We are not evil because of the things we do, Sim. We do evil because we are evil. Oh! No, I'm kidding. Okay. That's where you're going. That's
a ways down the road.
Well, you know, it's a couple of helpings of barbecue sauce anyway. But
that's right.
Now, of course, another reason why you want to be careful is because of this exact story, which is in Corp War Double Cross News. This is a great story. Mm. NATO supply convoys traveling through Pakistan, they're not in a war zone, though, to Afghanistan have regularly come under attack in the past. But following Pakistani's decision to block their route through the Khyber Pass, they now face an even bigger security threat. Hundreds of tankers and trunks have been left stranded on highway and depots across Pakistan with little or no security. Taliban militants have regularly been targeting the convoys, even when they're heavily protected. But many believe it's not just the militants who pose a threat. The owners of the oil tankers being used to supply the fuel of NATO Afghanistan says some of the attacks on their convoys are suspicious. They say there's evidence to suggest that bombs have been planted in many of the vehicles by the NATO contractors, individuals or companies who've been contracted by NATO to supply fuel and goods to the forces in Afghanistan. The contractors then hire transporters who then carry the goods. Dost Mohammed, an oil tanker over from the Nowshera district, said that NATO contractors had regularly been caught trying to plant a bomb on an oil tanker. This happens in the area of Pai, where she said putting the bomb on the vehicle. So what they do is, the game here is they're paid to move this fuel and to move it, right? So
just walk away.
No. What they do is,
just give us the fuel.
They only put 2,000. They'll get a tanker that holds 50,000 liters. They'll only buy 2,000 liters of gas and only move that. Okay. Then they've got the extra, but it never has to be accounted for because the convoy gets hit and it gets destroyed. Right? So there's no endeavor to check that whether or not all the gas was destroyed, because of course it was destroyed. It was burned in the desert. Right? But meanwhile, there was never much gas there to begin with. So you plant a bomb on there, claim the whole thing was, I guess it must have got hit, you know, and you come out of it, you know, to the plus. You know, that's, I thought it was pretty slick. I thought that was pretty slick.
Crazy.
Definitely an interesting story. You want to check that one out. Now, of course, and of course, this one here, this is a story that's not getting any play at all, this particular story. You and I,
Sim. That's why we're here.
Yeah, this is the H1, remember H1N1? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where they're saying how, you know, we're all going to fucking die if we don't get the H1N1 vaccine shot. If you're young.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're old. Or if you might get old, or if you were young once, you know.
That's right. Or you will be old.
Yeah, there won't be enough, right? There won't be enough for everyone. Only, you know, women and children first.
Get your lottery ticket, yeah.
Maybe you can be lucky enough to get vaccinated.
Okay.
And now it's coming out that the whole thing was a huge sham. The H1N1 virus has spawned widespread panic and fear throughout the world. However, upon closer examination, many of the claims made by the World Health Organization seem to be based on weak and incomplete data. The Atlanta-based Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has created and used data to grossly exaggerate the need for an expensive and unnecessary vaccine aimed at creating profits for the pharmaceutical industry, not protecting Americans. The WHO complained that claimed that a worldwide public health emergency had unfolded at an unprecedented scale in 2009, and 4.9 billion doses of H1N1 swine flu vaccine were needed to stop the spread. Very soon thereafter, countries all around the globe began preparation for inoculation of millions of their people in accordance with the WHO recommendations. Okay, that's the, like, bang. That's huge.
Wow.
In some countries, WHO recommended that the H1N1 vaccine be mandatory. Everyone has to have it. However, most people were unaware that the data used by the WHO was faulty at best. In the U.S., both federal and state governments began preparation for the pandemic. State governments are generally responsible for these preparations in coordination with the federal agencies. President Obama's Council for the Advisors on Science and Technology released a report that considered the H1N1 pandemic a serious health threat to the U.S. Not as serious as the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, but worse than the swine flu outbreak of 1976. Responding in such terrifying language, Massachusetts legislation introduced hefty fines and prison sentences for those who refused to be vaccinated. The U.S. military was expected to have an active role in the health emergency. All this was brought in with faulty data, you know, over the vaccine scare. You're diseased. You know, kind of you know, this is a very interesting.
It is very interesting, and you really got to dig to see where this data started from. Because I always remembered, I remember looking at the data right from the source, like the CDC, and looking at the numbers, and I'm like, this really isn't that big. It's so small.
That's right.
And then you look in the news reports, and it's like,
oh my God, the world's gonna go into a big ball of flame.
Yeah, we're all gonna die.
We're all gonna die.
Oh well.
And it was crazy, and the pharmaceuticals. Who's gonna profit from it, right?
Right.
So you really, I'm hoping the World Health Organization is just passing on information that somebody else has trumped up a bit, but you see, an organization like that should be investigating also their data that they're getting.
Well, the World Health Organization
have enough people.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to check out where the AIDS outbreak happened all over Africa. And if you check out, you know, it reads like a roadmap of where the World Health Organization did a bunch of vaccinations like 3 or 4 months prior. And it's really interesting how that happens. So I that pretty much sums up how I feel about the World Health Organization. Let's move into something a bit more positive. Let's talk about some cyberpunk kit and this amazing gizmo you came up with, Sumerian, called Unlogo, that you found.
I didn't make it.
No. But this is interesting. Unlogo is a web service that eliminates logos and other corporate signage from videos. On a practical level, it takes back your personal media from the corporations and advertisers. On a technical level, it's a really cool combination of some brand new OpenCV and FFmpeg functionality. On a poetic level, it's a tool for focusing on what's important and record your life rather than the ubiquitous message that advertisers want you to focus on. In short, Unlogo gives people the opportunity to opt out of having to have corporate messages permanently printed in photographic records of their lives. Unlogo is a participatory project that needs your help. Participate now, collecting videos that contain logos and illustrations of logos to make the filters stronger. Very interesting project. So, you know.
Yes.
And this
project is for processing video that's already been shot. And what I was thinking is you get the overlay glasses and a processor or an optimized code that's good enough to do it in real time.
By the time you finish building the hardware and getting the hardware together, that process power would be available.
Once you figured it out. So it's like the movie They Live. Instead of taking away the advertising, it reveals the truth, which would be a blank screen instead of consume and eat.
What we do is we make a They Live patch for the system so that you can actually have it say stuff like that. So it says obey and all that kind of shit. Like whenever it's McDonald's.
Yeah, everything would just say consume. Yeah, any government a poster would say obey. Any commercial poster would say consume. Etc. etc. That'd be hilarious.
Exactly.
So that'd be amazing for this to come out, and you could protect your brain from the evildoers that wish to empty your wallets.
Well, this is why this is a more high-speed level of yellow sunglasses. is what this is.
Yes.
You know, the advantages of yellow sunglasses.
And level up.
And once again, I feel vindicated. You know, it's nice to know everyone's catching up.
That's right.
With the Sean. People watch patrol. Bam. Years ahead of their time.
Yep.
Face scanners. Wyandi, another staunch member, sent this one in. It could make the time-honored tradition of making a school register a thing of the past. This is in England. Cutting-edge cameras are being used to scan children's faces as they enter school. The face recognition technology makes sure they've turned up, records whether or not they're on time or late, and keeps an accurate roll call. It also delivers messages to pupils as they sign in. James, you are late for the third time. Machine is angry at you. 10 schools have started using the system, which is likely to be introduced elsewhere if it's considered a success. This is like out of a Jello Biafra movie. But privacy campaigners react angrily yesterday, warning that the technology was another encroachment on civil liberty. Jesus Christ, you think? Britons are already subjected to the greatest level of electronic surveillance in the world, and our movements are said to be recorded some way about 3,000 times a week. Facial recognition systems in use with the airports to those who can catch using fake passports. The face register system that is being installed in schools takes 3D digital images and faces and infrared scans. People's image face a box, which is the size of an A3 piece of paper, while the image is taken. They punch their 4-digit PIN number on a pad to confirm their identity. So it takes a picture of you, confirms identity. The technology made by Northamptonshire firm Aurora Computer Service is said to be accurate, but there's no chance of pupils signing in from their friends. Unless they cut their friend's head off and, you know,
hold it up to the camera.
They got to get into the locker.
You know, I know your PIN code.
Yeah, I'm a juggalo. What? Yeah, so I guess the really interesting thing here is the data itself, right? No one's talking about what's going to happen with that database. Because if you have this all in school systems, you've got a database of all
children.
Well,
that's just the start. That's the indoctrination, really. I mean, nothing, not too bad a thing can happen at the schools. Like, these kids are supposed
to be but
at
the
school.
Records, you see, blah, that's blah, just blah. It. It's the records. Fuck the schools. But when those kids graduate, you've already got a bioprint on them. What happens to the records?
That's true.
You've already
got
that, right? You don't even have to, they don't even have to sign. You don't even have to fingerprint them anymore. I mean, why? But you're fingerprinted to get into school, right? This is better to fingerprint. Shit. You got to have a voluntary PIN code.
Yep.
You know?
And by the time they're in the graduating grade, their face is pretty much how it's going to be when they're older.
Absolutely.
You've got a full facial database of the whole
citizens.
The whole country, everybody. Yeah.
And the great thing about it is we're going to make that public. And here's why we're going to make that public. We're going to make that public so that we can tie it in with your medical records. So if ever, you know, you're found as a massive disaster, right? 2012, right? Disasters, right? Terrorist incident. Yeah. We could find your body, scan you, and we already know who you are. Because we could recognize you. Right? And that's how it's going to be made public. And then that's
a positive.
Good thing, right? That's all good stuff.
That's right.
Right? Think of the
children. Find your dead relatives. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where we're at there. So we have the face recognition stuff. That's also on the go. Liquid Galaxies was sent in by Mation. This is a hell of a thing. Since then, we've taken a lot of conferences, but built Liquid Galaxies. This is a Google application. And for some reason, I've deleted some of my story.
Paste that in for you.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what exactly happened there. But, this is what this is a system for building a cave using Google Earth, I believe, as I was going through this. So it builds an immersive environment for Google Earth, which you can use and overlay in real time.
Interesting.
Very, very cool stuff. So it's, I wish I had more time to dedicate to augmented reality. I really do, because boy, is that ever exciting. You know, that's going to be.
Yeah. Oh, it's progressing really fast.
Yeah, robotics combined with augmented reality. So you'll have robots that have augmented reality skins. So, you know, you can have whatever you want in your apartment kind of a thing. You know, that's what's going to be coming down the pipe. You know, the guy who makes a robot that has an augmented reality body of, like, you know, whatever hot chick you want. I mean, that guy's going to be retiring. You know, it's very, very interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Body morphing, make it look any way you want. You can change the hair color with the touch of your finger.
Sure.
Yep.
Intuitive, you know, design based on media that's playing in the background. Who knows? Who knows? Sky's the limit. Now, this is an interesting thing. I didn't know about this, but there's this stuff, and I believe it's called shugru, or it's essentially silicone putty. Okay, is what it is.
I think I've heard of this.
Yeah. Yeah, and what you do is you can use it to, like, and I can't believe I've never heard of this stuff. Shugru. No, I don't think it's shugru. I think it's something else. There's a bunch of this stuff out there. And it's amazing. It's amazing crap. You can use it to amplify up your cases. So if you buy stuff, you can't get a case for it, which is always a bitch, and you want to, like, you know, harden it up a bit, you use this stuff on it. Which I'm like, wow, really? Yeah. I mean, wow, that's totally something I should put that in season 3 for sure. Like, this is brilliant stuff, and you could do a lot with it. But it gets better, because Starling found a link for stuff you can make yourself. So it's do-it-yourself silicone mold, which you can do anything with. And
nice.
made of free Ugu. So very, very cool. Yeah, so you got to like that stuff. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. As well, there is Asti Crapper, which is sent in by Crunch, which you're going to like this. It goes for Asterix, which is a piece of phone software. And what it is Asti Crapper is a script for the Asterix PBX, which is designed to hold conversations with telemarketers. Okay. The script works by detecting responses from the telemarketers and silence gaps, then loops a series of recorded samples. The conversation is recorded in the Barstool Asterix monitor. And they have, on the website, they have examples of actual conversations that have gone on for like an hour. Okay? And they're just
good.
And the guy's talking to a machine, right? Like, it's fucking... It's insidious.
Why not?
You know,
it's like you're talking to a machine on the other end anyway.
Yeah.
To the telemarketer, they're reading from a script. So why don't you read from a script too?
Yeah. You know. So it's definitely something that is. I think it's funny. I personally.
That is hilarious.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you don't owe them anything. You don't owe those telemarketers anything. They phoned you. Just remember that.
You're so hateful. You're so hateful.
Hate.
It's just pouring out of you. It's good. It's because you're accepting the Blackwater. You know, I'm going to get you a shirt.
That's right. It's seeping into me.
It is. It is. Also, and helping as you're going out on the hog hunt, you're going to want to check out some night vision that you can do it yourself. Some do-it-yourself night vision sent in also by Starling. So it's an easy-to-build night vision viewer that lets you see into the night without detection. The covert system can light up a room. As if you were using a flashlight, and only you'll be able to see the light. It's basically a very cheap and expensive IR camera hookup made out of an old video camera. So very, very cool DIY night vision. Because, hey, nothing is a force equalizer like if you're the only one who can see. So it's interesting. You know, Silence of the Lambs.
Put those old video cameras to use.
You betcha.
Just go to your local pawn shop, flea market, gather up all those broken down things for $10 that don't record anymore, and get all their little components to use.
Well, as a matter of fact, you could probably build yourself, you could get pretty tricky with it. You could build ones for your whole team. Yeah. You know? There you go. Why not?
Awesome.
Why not? Now, for your Recomedia, we've got some interesting Recomedia here from Operation Gladio. Now, this was something that I picked up from Evil Von Scary for sure. Now, I hadn't heard of this. This is a BBC documentary, which, you know, there's some amazing documentaries that are available now through the internet. But the BBC, as we know, I mean, they're not really too out to lunch. They're not, you know, they're pretty well researched.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. This is an extraordinary BBC documentary by Alan Frankovich from 1992. Documents exist of a covert terrorist network maintained throughout Europe by NATO, intended to discredit the political left in Europe. This is an amazing documentary. It's essentially sleeper cells and spies and wet work operatives really working in Europe for the West. It's like, holy shit. You know, because as a dude living in the West, and I'm into this shit, I'd never heard of this before. So this is not something that, you know, if you think that all, you know, Canadians and Americans are the same. No, not everyone would be behind with this. This is it's pretty interesting stuff. Operation Gladio. You want to check this out. Very, very cool. So, something to be aware of. And that, again, came from the Evil Von Scary Show. That's the kind of shit this guy pulls out. You know, he'll hit you one week with, like, Elvis UFO shit. And then next week it's like, you know, this kind of stuff where you're like, wham. You know. That's all we got for you. Wow, we went over an hour or two. That's all we got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. It's been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. If you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the left-hand side of my LiveJournal page. It actually says subscribe, not donate, but that's okay. Or you can send envelopes to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. Sim, did you have anything?
Yes.
What?
No, not this week. Well, at the end of the month in Vancouver, our little
we could talk about it for 2 weeks in a row. It's okay.
Yeah, we can. It's not time yet. It's not the week yet. It'll be next-ish week. Right. So, but it's exciting. It's coming up. So yeah, and we'll talk more about it next week.
Well, the 29th, right, is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. And that's right. Yeah, so we're having our rant meet in Vancouver. All the other people can do it at the normal time, but the Vancouver one, we're having it a little bit early so we can all head down and watch our animation on the big screen in comfortable seats.
Right. So kind of neat and something for us to do. You know, so what the hell? So if you got nothing else going on, come on out, check it out. Because I'll be going.
Yeah.
And it's going to be kind of neat. So there'll be lots of pictures and stuff. So
that's right.
It's kind of a feel good stuff for us. So if you did want to show your support and come down and see a movie, why not? I guess it might sell out though, so we should probably make sure we got tickets and stuff.
Yeah. You want to get the tickets a little bit early. Just make sure you can get there if you're in the Vancouver area in that time. Yeah,
that's right.
Pick them up just in case. You never know.
Okay. So and you're getting my tickets, right, Sim? Like you're gonna get
that's
my
right.
tickets, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Because I don't need to worry
you
about that.
Bet,
that'd
Joe.
Be funny.
Nope.
That'd be really funny.
We're sold out. You can't come to your own movie. Sorry.
I'll just
be a little less than funny.
I would get arrested for that. I would get arrested for sneaking into the theater. And so that so you could tell that story that you got busted for breaking into the theater to watch your own movie.
That'd be good. That'd be actually funny. I'd crack open the back door for you, like, okay, synchronize watches.
Yeah.
10 minutes to showtime, and I'd crack open the back door before the lights go down so people don't see it.
That's right.
Sneak in, throw a coat over you. You can sit in the aisle.
We'll go to the movie before ours, and then we'll like just
oh,
like,
there you go.
There you go. And we'll just like hide.
Just stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And refuse to leave your seat. You got to clear out. No.
Like that.
I'm important here.
Dipshit at the Vancouver International Film Festival. Son of a bitch. If you wanted to like take out every teacher ever, go take out the local international. It was nothing but teachers. My God, it was
all
like,
of them. Oh, they had teacher hair. God. They had the teacher glasses. They dressed all like teachers, and they were teachers.
They were.
They were all teachers.
They were all fucking teachers. Every last one. The artistic.
Yes, that's a crowd. I don't know.
You know, with the knit blanket shawls and the clever glasses with the neck beads and the fucked up hair and the dudes with the leather jackets. Anyway, they had to do a test on the screen, and they said, "Hey, can everybody leave the theater? We got to do this test. It's kind of important. Blah blah blah. Whatever. Yeah. You know,
we
hey,
we don't
want to
show off the movie too early,
right? So." Everybody gets
filters
up.
Out.
The fucking theater's packed, okay? Everybody leaves.
Yeah.
But this one dude is sitting there eating an apple in the theater. And he's like, "I'm not leaving." And people are walking by going, we got to go, man. And he's like, "No, they can come talk to me." And he wouldn't leave. He would not leave.
Nope.
He would not get out of that fucking chair for whatever reason. He thought he was, you know, no, I'm too advanced for that shit. You know, fuck me or what you want. You know, I'm something special over here, so I'm going to do this. Which, I mean, I'm sure that he's a sovereign sentient being. Okay, I'm sure of that, all right? And I'm sure that he's a nice guy. But Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, don't be such an asshole. You know, God, there's always one.
Just to be an asshole. Like, there's no reason he couldn't just walk out for 5 minutes. He just did it to do it. To see if he could do it.
Yeah, or...
see if he could sit there.
Or he's crazy. You know, maybe
maybe
he was so old he lost control of his legs and he was embarrassed. Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows? But yeah, he your birthday. What did we do? We went and saw three movies back to back.
Yeah,
and
good movies, very good movies, all
good
in their
movies.
Own merit. Yeah,
they were good movies, and
we had a fun time.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one thing. But I bailed after that, so I didn't.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, that was enough. That was lots of movies for you. You had enough.
Yeah,
and dinner was very late, so it's good. that you didn't come because dinner went really, really late. So you'd be home at like 1 a.m. So
I would have killed
don't
you.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have killed me because it was on a Sunday and you had to get up and run it at 2:30 in the morning the next morning. So you wouldn't have got any sleep.
I don't run it. That's insane. I run at 3:15.
2:30. You're Jesus, talking crazy.
You know, come on, man. I'm doing the best I can over here. I've got to go to Yogax after this.
Yeah. And Tackcraft was actually a festival last week in London, England.
Right.
At Rain Dance.
Right, I got that email.
He got to schmooze with all the big wigs and had a good time there. He thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
So he's in the crowd in Second Life here. So that was awesome that he could see it. And now we're going to get our turn.
I think we got a drunken email from him. And he was describing that.
Late night drunken email. I was so cool.
Well, best email ever. Best fucking con email ever. Like, that should be a thing. Is that if you're going to if you're going to send your review, for God's sake, send it while it's hot. You know what I mean? Like, you just hit the hotel room, you know.
Just before you're about to hit the bed, all in a daze.
Well, no,
drunk.
No. I mean, let's. No? These people are going to Archon. So they've gone to the hotel room.
Okay.
They brought back the partner or two that they've had sex with. You know, everything's cool now. There's a bit of a lull. You got a time. You got your smoke on the go. You're outside with a brandy sifter full of, like, stark naked, you know, and you sit down in the lawn chair with the laptop there and you start typing your review of what's been going on. You know, that's what I'm talking about. That's the reviews I want. That's what Tackcraft sent in. I mean, there was photos.
Yes.
He sent, my God, there was this woman. It was insane. I don't know what he's doing, but he's just
oh my God.
Jeez, if you go to these conventions, man, wow. You know, looks like Frank Frazetta drawings coming to life on you there. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for the update at the very
yes.
Thank so that's you. Cool. And anything else going on, Simi?
No, that's pretty good. Yep.
That's pretty much her. Well, of course, the Army of the Flying Monkeys, thank you for your assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, @rantradio.com. And if you want to get in touch with Simi or you want to sign up for the Rant newsletter, please send an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, let's check out some Psytrance. Fade out now with one of my favorite tracks. So remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. Until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Afternoon, another day is nearly done. A darker gray is breaking through a lighter one. A thousand sharpened elbows in the underground. That hollow, hurried sound. Feet on polished floor. Dollar store, the clerk is closing up and counting loonies, trying not to say, I hate Winnipeg. The driver checks the mirror 7 minutes late. The crowded rider's restlessness enunciates. Guess who sucked? The Jets were lousy anyway. The same route every day. And in the turning lane, someone stalled again. He's talking to himself and hears the price of gas repeat his phrase, I hate Winnipeg. Sky, a golden business boy. We'll watch the North End die and sing I love this town. Then let his arcing wrecking ball proclaim I hate Winnipeg.